Thank you for listening to Preaching the Word with Nathan Deitch.
Welcome again to the Mysteries of God's Word. Today we'll be examining a well-known story in Scripture where Abraham is to sacrifice his son Isaac. This is found in Genesis chapter 22, and we begin at verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you." Examining our first two verses, we see that God tested Abraham. I remember the old King James Version saying God tempted Abraham. But that word that was translated tempted is better translated tested. For we know that when tempted, no one should say that God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But here, in Genesis chapter 22, God is testing Abraham. God is testing the faith of Abraham, and the result will become the gold standard for all believers of how genuine faith will express itself in outward obedience to the Lord. Again, this is not a temptation. Rather, God is testing Abraham's faith in his character and in his faithfulness to God. And God told him to take his son, his only son. That phrase, your son, your only son, is repeated three times in this narrative. And as we remember the Lord's covenant and the Lord's promise throughout Abraham's life, God had promised to make Abraham into a great nation. And after 25 years of promising Abraham these things, Isaac was the promised child of faith through whom these promises were to come. Now, God is asking Abraham to do something that seems to defy reason. It seems to conflict with the very promises that God himself has made to Abraham. This is going to be the greatest test in Abraham's life. But through it, we see one of the strongest prophetic examples in the Old Testament of how God would sacrifice his son, his only son. And God tells him to go to the land of Moriah. Hebrew tradition holds that Moriah is associated with Jerusalem. There's a discussion amongst scholars as to if the place Abraham sacrificed Isaac was the site for the Temple Mount, or if it was actually Golgotha, or what we sometimes refer to as Calvary, where Jesus was crucified. God is giving Abraham a specific location, and he's asking him to go there and sacrifice Isaac as a burnt offering. Now, if you remember, burnt offerings are offerings of choice meat consumed by the fire. They're burnt up. God is asking Abraham to offer up his son as a blood offering that will be consumed by fire. It seems only appropriate that we read John 3:16 as we consider these things. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Back in Genesis chapter 22, picking up in verse 3, we read, "So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose, and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. In these three verses, we see that Abraham rose early in the morning. And rising early in the morning seems to be a common theme in Abraham's life when he's faced with a particularly challenging day. Perhaps this signals that the difficulties of the day made it hard for Abraham to sleep. But we see that Abraham rises early when the Lord asks Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. And we see Abraham prepared for the day. He saddled his donkey, he cut the wood, and he brought two young men with him, likely two of his best servants, as well as his son Isaac. And it says, on the third day he lifted his eyes, and he saw that place from afar. Now the trip from Beersheba, where Abraham was, to Jerusalem takes about 2 days by foot. And their arrival on the third day to one of these hills around Jerusalem was likely in the third morning. And there's also a messianic prophecy being displayed here, as Jesus rose on the dawn of the third day. Not only is the third day the day Isaac will be offered as a sacrifice, but it is the day Abraham will receive him back as if he is raised from the dead. And we see that Abraham told his young men, his two servants, he said to them, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come back to you again." Abraham's statement to his servants shows an unwavering faith here. Abraham believed in the promises of God concerning Isaac, and he believed that he was going to return to his servants with Isaac alive. Romans 4:20 speaks to us concerning Abraham's faith in this way. It says, "No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised." And we see that Abraham took the wood that he was going to use for the burnt offering, and he laid it on Isaac, his son. Isaac is carrying the heavy load, the bundle of wood, which is going to be used to burn him as a sacrifice. This, too, is symbolic of Jesus carrying the cross that was to kill him. So Abraham and his son go together, and they begin their journey up the hill. Picking up in verse 7 of Genesis, "And Isaac said to his father Abraham, 'My father!' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' He said, 'Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' Abraham said, 'God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.' So they went, both of them together." This conversation between Isaac and Abraham shows that of an affectionate son who didn't fully understand what was happening. And Abraham gives a tender reply that God is providing the lamb. Abraham's reply shouldn't be considered a lie in the context of this act of faith. Rather, this is Abraham's tender way of implying to Isaac that he was going to be the sacrifice. At this point, Isaac was a young man. He was strong enough to carry this large bundle of wood for the sacrifice, and he would have been strong enough to resist Abraham attempting to tie him at the altar. Isaac being sacrificed is an archetype to that of Jesus Christ. Not only was Abraham walking in faith, but so was Isaac. Isaac, who was a willing sacrifice, obeying the voice of his father. Then we read in verse 9, "When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand, and he took the knife to slaughter his son. So we see here that Abraham and Isaac had reached the place that God had told them. So the place was very specific. God had called Abraham to go to a very specific hill in Moriah. And they had reached the place where God had told them. At that place, Abraham builds an altar. Now, altars at this time were commonly built out of uncut stone. And it would have taken Abraham some time to find these larger uncut stones and place them one on top of another, creating an altar large enough to hold both the wood and Isaac, who was to be placed on top. And then it says that Abraham bound Isaac, his son. Again, Isaac was strong enough to resist being bound, for he had carried that large bundle of wood up the hill. And Abraham himself was getting on in years, and Isaac had probably just spent a great deal of time helping his father build this altar. And now we see the obedient faith of Isaac as he trusts the plans of the Lord and his father's faith, even as he's being bound and laid upon the altar of wood. And Abraham reaches out his hand, and he takes the knife to slaughter his son. At this critical moment, the narrative slows down. It begins to give us a step-by-step picture of what's happening. Abraham grabs his knife, possibly a sword. The scripture describes it as an edged weapon used to cut human bodies. And Abraham is prepared to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." What an amazing picture. If you remember from our earlier lessons, the angel of the Lord doesn't appear after the birth of Jesus Christ. And the angel of the Lord is believed to be one of the ways in which the Son of God would appear in the world before he came in human flesh. So perhaps consider this picture. Our Lord Jesus calls to Abraham from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." The Lamb of God, who was coming to take away the sin of the world, is watching Abraham about to slay his son, his only son. And now the angel of the Lord shows Abraham mercy. He says, "Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him." Because it was not Isaac that would need to be slain for Abraham, but it was rather the one talking to him, the angel of the Lord. And the angel says, "Now I know you fear the Lord." Abraham passed the test. The angel affirmed Abraham's genuine faith that responded to God with action. And the angel says, "You've not withheld your son, your only son, from me." We see that the angel of the Lord speaks as if he was Jehovah, because he is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. We're also going to see in verse 16 that the angel swears by himself, and he calls himself Jehovah. In verse 13 we read, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son." So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is to this day. "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." So the Lord provided for Abraham a ram, a substitutionary offering instead of Isaac. And this again further displays the gospel message to Abraham, showing that it's not our personal sacrifice that pleases God, but it's putting our trust in God's provision. And ultimately, putting our trust in God's eternal provision of a Messiah. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19, speak of Abraham's faith in this way. It reads, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' He considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." You see, this entire time, Abraham was believing in the promises of God that through Isaac, the Messiah was going to come. That through Isaac, God was going to create for him a great nation, and that the world would be blessed. Abraham believed that even if he sacrificed Isaac on this altar, God was going to raise him from the dead, because Abraham believed that God always was faithful to keep his promises. And Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide." Because, my friends, the Lord always provides. The Lord is always faithful. As I mentioned before, some believe that the hill upon which Isaac was offered was Golgotha, the same hill our Lord Jesus was to be crucified. If that is the case, both the angel of the Lord as well as Abraham are prophesying here that the Lord will provide a lamb on this hill. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." In these verses, verses 15 through 18, the angel of the Lord is once again reaffirming to Abraham what we know as the Abrahamic covenant. And the angel of the Lord says, "By myself I have sworn." The angel of the Lord speaks here as Jehovah, and he makes an oath to Abraham and his offspring. When I read this, I see Christ himself say, "By myself I have sworn." I'm seeing the Son of God, the angel of the Lord, swearing an oath to Abraham that it will be through himself, as Abraham's offspring, namely Jesus Christ, that all of these promises are fulfilled. And the angel of the Lord says, "Because you have done this, I'm going to bless you." As we read that, I want to clarify something that can often come to our minds. First of all, Abraham didn't earn this promise from God. The Lord has been making this promise to Abraham over and over again for almost 40 years. Abraham didn't earn this promise through the act of bringing Isaac as a sacrifice. Rather, Abraham proved his faith in the eternal promises that the Lord had already given him about the Messiah one day coming through his son Isaac. And even when faced with killing his son, his only son Isaac, Abraham obeyed. And that is what pleased the angel of the Lord. And we again see that God reaffirms those four primary promises in the Abrahamic covenant. God is going to bless Abraham and protect him. God is going to make Abraham a great nation, the father of nations. God is going to give Abraham the promised land. And through Abraham, the earth is going to be blessed. Through Abraham, the Messiah will come. I also think it's important at this point to consider John chapter 8, verse 56. When Jesus was talking with the Jewish leaders, he once told them, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." That amazing statement by Jesus reveals that Abraham rejoiced in the fact that he would one day see the coming Messiah. And indeed, Abraham saw the day of Christ from afar. He saw the continuation of the seed that was to be the lineage of the Messiah through Isaac. In addition, the Lord foreshadowed visibly to Abraham many aspects of the life of Jesus Christ and the eternal kingdom. The Lord appeared in the flesh to Abraham on multiple occasions. God brought forth a child through a barren woman, foreshadowing a virgin birth. Today, we saw Abraham willing to sacrifice his son, his only son, foreshadowing God's sacrifice of his son, his only begotten son. Abraham once saw the Lord ascend into heaven, as Christ would one day ascend into heaven before his disciples. Abraham saw the wrath of God on Sodom and Gomorrah, symbolic of God's wrath to come on all of the earth in the last days. And the promised land, promised to Abraham, is an eternal promise that Abraham would one day inherit land forever, and that he would be there with his people. This is an eternal kingdom and an eternal promise that comes through the Messiah. Thank you for joining me for this amazing and in-depth chapter of God's Word. God bless you this week.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understandings.